We're glad you're able to join with us around the Word of God again this evening. This would be our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and the weeks have continued to pass in this situation, and we're looking forward to the time when we will be able to come together again physically to assemble in the house of God. And we do encourage you to continue to pray concerning that soon we will be able to assemble together in the way the Lord would have us to do so. But in your own home, we encourage you again to listen to the Word of God, and then to take that time in prayer yourself for the work of God in our congregations, the work of God in the districts where we live and seek to be a witness, the work of God throughout our province, throughout this island, throughout our nation, and indeed throughout the world, thinking of our missionaries too, remembering the bereaved again, the ill, those who care for them, and all the various needs as we bring them before the Lord. We want to turn this evening to Psalm 99. The Psalm 99. It is one of a number of psalms which begins with the words, "The Lord reigneth." And I have found myself, particularly at this time, even in my own devotions, being drawn to this great truth that despite all that is happening, the Lord is the one who is still reigning. And here in Psalm 99 we read, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies, and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgivest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Amen. And God will bless even this reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Let us just seek the Lord for a moment in prayer, and let me encourage you also to ask the Lord to speak to your heart through his word today. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this great truth that is set before us in this psalm, "The Lord reigneth." We thank thee, we are reminded in this psalm of those who called upon thee in prayer and thou didst answer them. And we thank thee that when we first of all come as sinners and sincerely call upon thee for forgiveness and salvation, turning from our sin, placing our faith in Christ, thou dost hear. For thou hast said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thou hast said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." We thank thee we have this confidence, this assurance, that even as your people, if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And when we know that thou hast heard us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of thee. We pray that thou will come and bless our time around the word of God today. Speak to your hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt hasten the day in which we'll be able to gather again physically together in the house of God and worship thee. And so we pray that you would bless us today in our homes. And we pray that we will know thy presence. And we pray even as saved sinners, that each of us who are saved will be drawn closer to thee and revived in our hearts, revived in our prayer lives, revived in our study of the word of God. And oh, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon our nation, that thou wilt Come and cause many to seek thee while thou art to be found, and to call upon thee while thou art near, that many will be brought to reverence thee for who thou art and what thou hast done. Hear and answer our prayers. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. This Psalm 99 has within it a threefold division which emphasizes the holiness of God. That is, that God is set apart from all others. Each of the three divisions of the psalm end with a statement concerning the holiness of God. The first division is found in the opening three verses. And there in the verse 3 it says, "Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." The second division is found in the verses 4 and 5. And again at the end of verse 5 we read of God, "For he is holy." Then the final section, verses 6 to 9. Once again at the end of verse 9 we read, "For the Lord our God is holy." Now this threefold division which emphasizes the holiness of God caused me to consider what we read in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah saw the Lord high, lifted up upon his throne, we read of how the seraphims, some of the angels, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." We also think of the Apostle John in Revelation 4, the passage we considered last Lord's Day, and the verse 8, as he looked through the open door into heaven, he saw the four beasts or living creatures, which are probably a reference to some of the angels. "They rest not night and day, saying, Holy, holy, holy." This threefold emphasis upon the holiness of God also reminds us that God is holy in his three persons. We think of John chapter 17, the great high priestly prayer of the Saviour. And in John 17, verse 11, as the Lord Jesus addressed his heavenly Father, he addressed him in the words, "Holy Father." In Hebrews 7, verse 26, the Lord Jesus himself is described as holy, harmless, and undefiled. And of course, the third person of the Trinity is the blessed Holy Spirit of God. This Psalm 99 therefore points us to God who is holy and reminds us of what our attitude ought to be toward this holy God. As we consider God in this Psalm 99, I want to consider God in three ways. First of all, we see the God who is powerful. The psalm opens with the truth, and indeed we considered it some time ago from another psalm, those words, "The Lord reigneth." We find the same words beginning Psalm 93 and Psalm 97. "The Lord reigneth." The Lord has power. The Lord is the King with absolute power and authority. We read of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, in Revelation 19 and 16, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. When the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, by way of doxology, Paul wrote, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." The King. King who is eternal, the King who is immortal, the King who is invisible. And in this Psalm 99, as the Lord is presented to us as the one who reigns in absolute power, we read there in the opening verse that he sitteth between the cherubims. He sitteth between the cherubims. The cherubims are some of the angelic creatures, and their likeness was part of the mercy seat, which was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle and in the temple. And in the book of Exodus, the chapter 25, we read of some of the instructions given by God to Moses with regard to the making of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat upon it. And in Exodus 25, the verse 17 gives the instructions, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Then the measurements are given. Verse 18, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And then in verse 20 we discover the cherubims were to stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces were to look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And then the mercy seat was to be put above the ark. And in the ark, Moses was to put the testimony, the law which God gave him. And then the Lord said this in verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And when we consider carefully these details and think of the likeness of the cherubim at each end of the mercy seat upon the ark, and how they looked down upon the ark, and we remember that once a year when the high priest went into the holiest of all, that mercy seat was sprinkled with blood. Cherubims, they looked down upon the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And why we think of God, who is all-powerful, having his throne in heaven, his footstool upon earth, there was a sense in which this mercy seat was God's throne upon earth, where he promised to commune with Moses and give commandments to Moses to pass on to the people. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 16 exhorts us as believers to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because the blood of Christ has been shed, there is mercy, there is grace for us to obtain. And of course, in salvation, we receive the grace and mercy of God. And that grace saves, that grace keeps, that grace sustains, that grace is sufficient for us. You know, Psalm 99 and the verse 2 declares that God is great in Zion. Psalm 99 verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. He is a great God. He has great power. He has almighty power. He is so high above us. His thoughts are above ours. His ways are above ours. And yet he is a God of grace and mercy, who has condescended in the person of his Son to come into this world, to live a perfect life for us, to die the death of the cross, to rise again, to save his people from their sins. The verse 4 of Psalm 99 continues to bring out the power of God, the God who is powerful. Because it says of God, the king's strength also loveth judgment or justice. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment, or we might say justice and righteousness in Jacob. And of course, on the judgment day, God's justice will be executed. And he will demonstrate his almighty power. What is our attitude to be to this one true and living God who has almighty power, the one who reigns? Well, verse 1 says, let the people tremble. Let the people reverence this God. We are to reverence God at all times and in all places. He is the one who is in all places at all times. He knows everything. Therefore, we're told in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared. in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Back in Psalm 4, the verse 4, thinking of this Almighty God with almighty power, we read in Psalm 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Stand in awe. Stand in awe of this great God. And may that keep us from sin as his people. May that bring you, if you're not saved, to call on him for mercy and forgiveness and salvation. So here in Psalm 99, the psalmist who sets before us a holy God, a God who is set apart from all others, he reminds us that this one true and living God is the God who has power. The Lord reigneth. But he is also, in the second place, the God who is to be praised. It is clear that this Psalm 99, like so many of the Psalms, calls us to praise God. Verse 3 of Psalm 99, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And the word terrible simply carries the meaning of the fact that God is to be reverenced. God is to be reverenced. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. We are to praise God every day for his great power and his great mercy. And God is to be praised with reverence because it says he is holy. He's not to be praised in a casual, irreverent manner. Verse 5 says he is to be exalted in our praise. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. We are to come before God as subjects to a king. We are to come with humility. We are to be at his feet. We remember Mary in the New Testament, who was always at the feet of the Saviour. As someone has put it, in times of tranquility, in times of tragedy, and in times of triumph. In Luke chapter 10 and the verse 39. Luke chapter 10 and the verse 39. We read of Mary. And she, speaking of Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet in reverence and humility. And so ought we, every time we come to the word of God, when we're able again to assemble together in public worship, even in our own homes, as we seek to watch on and listen to the preaching of God's word and praise him, we are to do so with reverence. John chapter 11 and verse 32 finds Mary again at the feet of the Saviour. Her brother Lazarus had died. There was grief. There was mourning. And in John 11 verse 32 we read, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then in the next chapter, John 12 and verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. This is after Lazarus had been raised from the dead by the Saviour. And so in this Psalm 99, we are called to praise God, to worship at his footstool. We are to praise him as individuals. We are to praise him in our families. And we are to praise him in the assembly of the saints, the assembly of the believers that we so desire to be part of again when we're able again to gather in the house of God. For all the Lord hath done for me, I never will cease to praise him. Is this the attitude of our hearts today? You know, the Lord Jesus said in John 4 to the woman at the well that the Father seeketh true worshippers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you praise God every day? God then is the God with power, absolute power. He is the God who is to be praised, but I want you to see in the third and final place, he is the God who is to be prayed to. We are only to pray to God. The Lord Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." God is to be prayed to. And in the verse 6 of this Psalm 99, there are three individuals mentioned from the Old Testament scriptures. And they are mentioned in the context of prayer. They were men of prayer, among other things. They were men who were but saved sinners. They had their imperfections. But they were called of God to particular positions in their day in the work of God. And they were men of prayer. Verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. If we think of Moses, first of all, it says Moses and Aaron among his priests. Now, of course, we know Moses was also the prophet. Aaron was particularly the high priest. And then we read of Samuel as well. But for the three of these men, the focus here is upon them calling upon the Lord's name and the Lord answering them. Think of Moses as he led the people of Israel. Many times he had reason to call upon the Lord. Many times they rebelled against God, rebelled against the leadership of Moses. God was going to destroy them, wipe them out. Moses prayed, and God answered his prayers. Even though judgment fell, many were spared because of the prayers of Moses. One example of this is found in Exodus 32. Exodus 32, if you come down to the verse 9 of Exodus 32. This is when the people had encouraged Aaron to make them gods. The golden calf was made. And in Exodus 32 verse 9 we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And here's Moses praying. "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." And then we read, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." God answered Moses' prayer, to use the words of Psalm 99. He called upon his name. He called upon the Lord. And the Lord answered him. Aaron is also mentioned in that verse in Psalm 99. He was God's choice to be the high priest over Israel, as Exodus 28 reveals. And again, he had his imperfections, as in the case of making the golden calf. But in his life, he was a man who called on the Lord and received answers to prayer. Numbers chapter 16 records a time of terrible rebellion among the people of Israel. And they rebelled against God ultimately, but in the rebellion against God, they rose up against Aaron and Moses, telling them they had taken too much upon themselves. They had lifted themselves up above the people when the reality was God had called them to places of leadership among the people. And again, because of the sin and rebellion, God was going to consume the whole congregation but Aaron, and Moses prayed. Numbers 16, the verse 20, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces, and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? Wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" And so the Lord instructed them to speak to the congregation, to tell them to get up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Moses rose up, he went to Dathan and Abiram. The elders of Israel followed him. He spake to the congregation, telling them to depart from the tents of these wicked men, not touch anything of theirs, lest they be consumed in their sins. And the people did get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram came out. They stood in the door of their tents, their wives, their sons, their little ones. And Moses declared that if those men died the common death of all men, the Lord had not sent him. But if the Lord made a new thing in the earth, opened her mouth and swallowed them up with all that appertained to them, and they went down quickly into the pit, they would understand, the people would understand that those men had provoked the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. But because of Aaron and Moses' prayers, so many of the people were spared at that particular point. Now, sadly, the people didn't seem to learn the lesson. You will find that the Lord spake to Moses in verse 44 of number 16, telling him to get up from among the congregation that the Lord might consume them. And again, Aaron and Moses fell upon their faces. And Moses instructed Aaron to take a censer, to put fire therein from off the altar, to put on the incense, to go quickly into the congregation, to make an atonement for them, because their wrath had gone out from the Lord, the plague had begun. Aaron did as Moses commanded, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And when it mentions the incense in the Word of God is linked to prayer. Samuel is the other individual that's mentioned in that verse in Psalm 99. He too knew what it was to pray and receive answers to prayer. And you remember Samuel was born in answer to his mother's prayer. He was named because his mother had asked him of God. And he was called to salvation to serve his very young in life. He was a great prophet. And as far as his prayer life was concerned, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we read of his prayers for the people. The ark of God, which had been taken away by the Philistines, was now brought back. And in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel called upon the people to return unto the Lord with all their hearts, to put away the strange gods. And in verse 5 of 1 Samuel 7, Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." He had a heart for the people. They gathered together. And in verse 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Samuel offered up a burnt offering. In verse 10, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. He discomforted them. The men of Israel in verse 11 went out, pursuing the Philistines and smiting them. God answered Samuel's prayer. A few chapters later, in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, and the verse 16. Samuel said, "Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And they said to Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. His prayers were valued at those times. And so, in Psalm 99, the mention of these three men, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, point us to the fact that this God who is powerful, he reigns. This God who is to be praised, he is a God that we can pray to. And if you're not saved, you need to get serious about prayer and call on the Lord for salvation. And for we as God's people, we need to be serious about prayer if we're going to see answers to our prayers. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 5, writing of the matter of prayer, 1 John chapter 5, the verses 14 and 15, he wrote, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Thank God, if we're saved, that Christ ever lives to pray for his people. And his prayers are always answered. What a God we have who is power, who is to be praised, to be prayed to in these days, every day. Let us walk close to him. And again, if you're not saved, take him as your God by turning from sin and trusting Christ as your Savior. Thank you for listening, and may God bless his word to your heart this evening.